Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for November 1st, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Jesus.
Good morning. Today I want to talk to you about being a church that is like Jesus. I want to talk to you about being a person that is like Jesus. Receiving Jesus is not just receiving him as your Savior, not just receiving him as the one who redeems you, but it's also about receiving his heart, receiving his mind, receiving his emotion, receiving his passion, receiving the word that we're going to use today in our text is the word attitude. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that when you think of the word attitude, you think of sweetness, right? Christian attitude, I should have said. When you think of having a Christian attitude, you think of a person who's really sweet. You think of someone who turns the other cheek, who forgives, who doesn't react to people who when people do bad things to you or to us. And You give kindness when you're treated with meanness. You love your enemies. That's what you think about, right? When you think about a Christian attitude, you think about somebody who's soft and gentle. And that's all true. That's all a part of a Christian attitude. That's all part of what it means to have a Christian attitude. But it's way bigger than that. And I think our text today that we're going to read in just a moment is going to show you that. Did you know this is what a Christian attitude is? A truly Christian attitude is to think so highly of ourselves, that we feel we deserve a life of self-indulgence. But to have discovered a cause that is greater than your comfort. That is truly a Christian attitude. To think highly of yourself and well of yourself, because I'm afraid that a lot of times sweetness and serving and giving in to others comes out of a place of feeling that you are worth less. But that is not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, we're going to read it in a minute, and pardon me for getting ahead of myself. He thought it, not, I'm reading, thinking King James, because that's where I came from. King Jimmy said, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, Jesus thought, I'm pretty special. I'm pretty awesome. I think it's totally normal that I am equal with God, that I am the very essence of God. Now I know Shirley MacLaine thinks that she's the essence of God, and she thinks you're the essence of God. I'm not going to tell you today that you're the essence of God. You are not the essence of God. But a Christian attitude comes from a place of security. Amen. It comes from a place of feeling tremendous self-worth. And tremendous value. But the Bible says you're just a little lower than the angels. That's pretty high up the totem pole. Just a little lower than the angels. You've been crowned with glory. But you've discovered the reason we serve and the reason we give is because we have discovered a cause. Jesus discovered a cause that was greater than his comfort. Now, before we read our text today, I know this is some of you who like order and sameness, this is just very disturbing. Because I come here for 2 years and they read the text first. I've got to go to a church where they read the text first. But we want to honor somebody this morning who has done that very thing. Someone who entered their retirement years, and they deserved to enjoy their retirement years doing retirement stuff. Bingo. Shuffleboard. Florida. But instead, I've served faithfully And I've been to Mississippi with this guy a few times and watched him do electrical work and everything else. And most famously, he's famous for hugs. So I've probably already given away who he is, but I'm going to bring Sherry, my wife, and our director of Compassion New England to honor this special person today.
Good morning. It is really an honor to work with people that really understand what it means to be a part of something big. That just like little Miriam, who waded in the bulrushes, who, you know, her name is not associated with, you know, the letting my people go story. But in the beginning, she was a small part of the big thing that happened in the lives of the children of Israel. So all of us that are willing to be a small part of something big understand that it isn't what we do one day, but what we do day after day. And so I want to invite Jerry and Judy Coolbrith to come to the stage. They are people that have served. And you know what? I'm going to invite the Meehans to come to the stage too. Tad and Nancy, you're standing. Come on up. Many years ago, when Bethany bought the house next door, the plumber that had previously owned it had put up that little building over there. And we came to the conclusion that it would be a great idea to start a little thrift store. And then that evolved, and Ted and Nancy were involved in that. And Doreen and Frank Campbell and Ray and Sue Quirk, and they were all the young people of that day. And they're still pretty young, although Pastor Phil and I do qualify to go to the senior luncheon now. But they passed the baton to Jerry and Judy for the food pantry. And about 14 years ago, Ted and Nancy and Jerry and Judy work together in the food pantry. And Ted and Nancy moved on to different things in their life, and they passed the baton to Jerry and Judy because they knew that they would do the work of the kingdom. Right, guys? You knew that you could trust this with them. And Jerry and Judy have served faithfully. And so we invited their family today and people that love them to come and celebrate not only the passing of the baton from Jerry and Judy to new people, but celebrate the purpose. Celebrate the cause, the willingness to love and serve people. So I'm just going to give the mic to you for 1 second, Jerry, to just share what it has meant to you to be a part of BCC's food pantry.
Hello, my name is BCC. C. I'm passing the baton over to somebody. We've been doing this for 14 years. And what ended up happening was I added a family to mine. I added the family to Bethany Community Church. And it's nice to have all kinds of families. I have 4 generations in this church right now. I hope they are able to pass on batons and do things for people that need to be done, whatever it is. And it only takes 5 minutes, or it could take 14 years, who knows. I'm not finished yet. There are other things that I'm going to be doing. a little bit different than what I'm doing now. I'm going to continue on as best I can. In emergencies, we'll come and do what we can do, but I thought I'd like to do something else. And I'm going to be a greeter, not in Walmart, but at the Milford, but in Milford emergency room, the new one. And I went the first day they opened, and what a beautiful place that is at the moment. I don't want anybody to go there because of emergencies, but if you get a chance to see it, it really is terrific. I guess that's about what I'd like to say, other than we're ready to pass the baton. So thank you.
So I'm going to invite Mike Sutton and Sylvia George to come to the stage right now. And Mike and Sylvia are going to fill as interim, serving in the food pantry. They're going to do their best to love God and love people. And so, Jerry, I'm going to ask you to pass the baton, and then we're going to ask Pastor Phil to come and pray for Sylvia and Mike and Joanne as they embark on this new thing that they're doing. So if you could pass the baton to them, and Pastor Phil is going to pray.
Father, we thank you for giving us the pattern of giving ourselves away to, in the end, get more of ourselves back. And we thank you for Joanne for Mike and Joanne too. And we thank you for Sylvia. We thank you, Father, that you would just bless. You would bless what they're about to do. God, I pray, pour them out to the world and quench the thirst of people that need love, need to see Jesus, and people who just need some food so they can survive. Thank you, Father. May your blessings be on this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Bless you.
A reading from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rachel. When we're talking this morning about Jesus as a mindset, a church that has Jesus as a mindset, why do we believers who have Jesus as a mindset? Why do we miss it sometimes? Well, one reason we miss it, I believe, is because of superheroes and Santa Claus. I think that's one reason we miss. Every culture creates stories of superheroes. Super saviors who come with superpowers and they save the day. We all grew up watching those stories. Superman, Captain America, Spider-Man, people with supernatural powers. Many a young person has badly injured themselves, putting on a piece of fabric and thinking it would empower them to fly off the roof. Because that's been the model that's been lifted up to us. Superpowers. There's a superpower that is going to save us. And truly, there is a dimension of Jesus Christ that is supernatural. He was Son of God. He was Son of Man. There's truly an aspect of the gospel that is supernatural. You would not have the gospel if there were not for the supernatural, for superpowers. You wouldn't have the gospel if we did not believe it were possible. And I know it's hard to grasp, but possible that there would be one who would bear our sins. And by the way, every culture has that. Every culture has sin-bearing stories too, that they create scapegoats, stories of scapegoats, that every culture creates scapegoat stories as well. And because every culture creates them, it doesn't mean it's not true. In fact, it actually indicates that it's likely true that we do need someone with magical powers to ultimately save us. So we believe that Jesus, in supernatural power, goes to a cross, in mystical power, bears our sins, rises from the dead in 3 days, ascends to the right hand of the Father, and there offers himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and therefore we are made right with God. But there's a problem with only seeing Jesus as your Savior. You see, here's the deal. All cultures have saviors, but the Christian culture has a lover. All cultures have saviors. All cultures have saving in their stories and in their folklore. But the Christian culture has romance in its folklore. I don't think it's folklore, but in its story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting. To help us see the supernatural power of Jesus, but to help us see what's in the heart of Jesus. It pulls back the curtain not to just see what Jesus did, but how he felt about what he did. The Christian story is the only story that I'm aware of that has at the forefront a Savior, yes, who has superpowers, but also has a Savior who the Bible opens the curtain and lets us know how he felt about what he did. Let us know that what he did in his earthly life and what he did in coming to the world was out of a heart that loved us and loved us completely. The Bible says that same attitude that is in Christ should be in you. Now, the word attitude is a very interesting word there. It's the Greek word phroneo, and it means to be earnestly disposed in a certain direction. Phroneo means to be earnestly disposed in a certain direction. There's another Greek word they use, it's nous, N-O-U-S. And nous just means thought and intellect and reasoning. So when the Bible talks about the mind of Christ, it's talking about going from thinking to being. It's talking about going from concept to reality. Someone said to me this past week, I've got to get more involved. I've been too selfish. They said, I don't want to be like my father, their earthly father. Where does that come from? That comes from someone who wants their heart to change. Jesus had a transformed heart. Jesus had a transformed heart. And, you know, I know this seems hard for some of us. Well, how am I going to get there to be that transformed person who's like Jerry here and Judy who want to serve and want to give hugs? I don't feel that way today, Pastor. How can I get the way? You're already halfway there, at least. You're already halfway there. You already despise selfish people. You already can't stand people who aren't generous. You already like generosity. You already think kind people and people who serve you and wait on you and do for you are good. So you're almost there already. And there's something woven deeply into the human psyche that you want to give and you want to serve and you want to be. Why else does a Bill and Melinda Gates, who make their billions of dollars, seek at the end to try to give it all away? Go to Africa and minister to AIDS orphans and do all these incredible things because there's something within them that says, I'm supposed to be something more than just a selfish glob who takes everything in on myself. Or what causes a Sean Penn to go to Haiti and say, I'm going to be there for the long run, and is still in Haiti today helping that nation to recover? What causes them to do it? What causes an Angelina Jolie to adopt children and go to Africa and do a marvelous work? Because it's already, you've already been hardwired to be compassionate. You've already been hardwired to serve. You've already been hardwired away from being a jerk. You know that? At Bethany, we want to go. At Bethany, we want to go from believing in Jesus to being like Jesus. At Bethany, we want to go from desiring that Jesus save us to desiring that Jesus live through us. At Bethany, we want to go from being receivers of mercy to givers of mercy. We want to go from being in favor to being in his image. At Bethany, we want to go from having an experience with Christ. We want to go from having an experience with him to being people through whom others experience him. We want you to experience him through us. We want to go from people who sit in grace to people who stand in power. We want to be, you know what the word phroneo means? To be earnestly disposed in a certain direction. Phroneo, that word think or mind or attitude, means to be earnestly disposed in a certain direction. Philippians 2, 5 through 7 pulls back the curtain, as we said, on Christ and tells us not just what he did, but how he thought about what he did. It's amazing. The closest thing that you naturally understand on this matter is parenting. I think that's the closest we just naturally come to knowing what it is to do for others because we want to do for them. It's a very unnatural thing not to want to serve your children. And I realize some people do not. Some people are broken in such ways that they do not want to serve their children. But that is not normal. The natural bent that we all have is to want to serve our grandchildren and grandchildren, forget it. I mean, it's beyond serving. We want to indulge them in every way possible. We miss the Jesus mindset because we merely try to do what he did without feeling what he felt. When brokenness and loneliness and mess around us is unacceptable, and we act as if we're empowered to change it, then we have the mind of Christ. Then we have the mind of Christ. Jesus, he felt he was God and well-deserving of the best that heaven had to offer. I've already covered that point, haven't I? He also felt passionate about a cause that caused him to feel that it was greater than his comfort. I heard of many years ago, a wife who lived with a husband who was very unkind and very domineering. In fact, he wrote for her a list of rules and chores that she had to do to be a good wife, and dinner, clean house, all those things. He had a written list for her. And she lived in this oppressive marriage. One day, suddenly, he passed away. And so, as time went on, she met someone that she truly fell in love with and who truly fell in love with her. One day, she's cleaning the house, joyfully, singing as she cleaned the house. And she found that list that her ex-husband had written her. And it dawned on her that what she did for him out of fear, she was now doing with joy because she was in love. That's the mind of Christ. Jesus left heaven, the glories of heaven, the luxury of heaven, the place of unquestioned authority and power, and came to live in the dust and dirt of earth, willing to do whatever it took to fix your mess. And he did it because he likes you. The Bible says you are the apple of his eye. He did it because he's crazy in love with you. That is the mind of Christ. See, the preoccupation of the Christian is, Jesus, fill me with your spirit. That's the preoccupation of the Christian. Jesus, fill me with your spirit. He did not, the Bible says, consider equality with God something to be grasped. He made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Tim Keller says, Paul reminds us that in the gospel, we are both brought lower and raised higher than we can imagine. What are we doing? If you are a student of Scripture and you're at least an armchair theologian, then you've probably used the word legalism. Even though I don't know that there's a unified idea of what that word really means. But we just know it has something to do with working for your salvation. It has something to do with a lot of rules. It has something to do with being feeling condemned by God and trying to work your way out of feeling condemned. Often the alternative to legalism is, unfortunately, what we call licentiousness. Well, do whatever you want. But we know that doesn't work either. So legalism doesn't work. License doesn't work. You know what works? Life. We want to go from legalism to life. So that the desires of Jesus are our desires. The desires and heart of Jesus is our heart. And we have received a supernatural heart transplant. I don't see Jerry Kulbreth. I have watched him serve all these years. I will guarantee you it wasn't out of legalism. It was not out of legalism. It was not out of guilt. It was not to work his way to heaven. It was his heart. It came from his heart. It came from his emotion. It came from his passion. And I watch people all over this place doing that every single week and every single day of my life. I watch Bethany Christian Academy teachers. I watch Bethany Christian Academy coaches for the athletic program. I watch them giving out of their heart. You can tell that they're not under duress. You can tell they're not under threat of going to hell. You can tell they're not under threat of anything. You can tell they're in love. We're going from legalism to life. It's kind of like the Hulk or Superman. When there was a crisis or an emergency, the Hulk was transformed. Superman found the nearest phone booth. I never understood why he found a phone booth, because they're glass. You can see in them. Wouldn't a bathroom stall have been much better? It probably wouldn't have filmed as well. It's Clark Kent is going into the bathroom stall. It just probably wouldn't have worked as well. So the lure of the phone booth, and he's transformed into superpower because there's a need. There's a threat. There's a danger. There's a mess somewhere. That's what happens when you have the mind of Christ. Amen? The word form here, it's the King James word. He came in the, he was in the form of God. and in the form of a servant. And the Greek word is morphē, which we get our word metamorphosis. There's another, but form is a really bad translation because it's so it's well, he kind of looked kind of like God. But there's another Greek word for that kind of form, it's schema. Schema means form, a pattern, a model. The word morphē means he was in the very essence of God. We all know about the process of a coal becoming diamond, the pressure of ages on pieces of black coal. They metamorphosize into diamonds. There's no trace of coal left. You don't go down to the jewelry store and say there's a piece of coal that looks like a diamond. It's not a piece of coal anymore. Its essence has changed. Jesus was not one who acted like God or behaved like God or was kind of like God. He was God. And because he fell in love with you, and he fell in love with you, he let the pressures of this world transform him into a servant and transform him into a man so he could serve you and he could bless you. And he, you know what we call it? We call it the passion of the Christ. He loved it. He loved it. He found joy in it. I said Jesus found joy in it. He was delighted to. The Bible says, you know what the Bible says about Jesus? And this is talking about his earthly life. This is the 33 years where he was a man and he served and he was at the bottom of the social totem pole and he didn't have any legal authority. He didn't have any political authority. The Bible, and if I'd written it, or if it had been probably maybe at times in my life and been written about me, it would have said something like, Jesus was very melancholy man, because he was constantly thinking about what it was like in his previous life when he lived with angels serving him. And he sat on a throne, a golden throne, and he lived in a beautiful mansion. He was a melancholy man. He was a somber man. You could tell there was something going on in his mind. You could tell that he was thinking about another world where things were better. Bible, you know what the Bible says? And some of you are going to get educated right now because you don't know this verse exists. It says Jesus, and this is talking about his earthly life, his earthly companions, he was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Jesus was the happiest man on the planet. Not when he's in heaven with all the luxuries of heaven, but I'm talking about when he had no place to lay his head. And when he was living every day to serve humanity, he was the happiest man on the planet. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. It means to serve and feel like it. It means to do good and feel like doing good. It means to have somebody ought to be both sides of the street, both emotionally and physically. I'm telling you, somebody ought to be shouting praise God right now because this is what God wants to do to this church. That's what he's doing in this church, and that's what he's doing in you. He's not just making you do a bunch of stuff you don't want to do because you're trying to work your way to heaven, but he's implanting his spirit in you. He's implanting his attitude in you. He's implanting his emotion in you. He's planting his passion in you. You're getting ready to have the time of your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Metamorphosis. It was captured in one sentence. See, sometimes we think serving is just about doing a bunch of tasks. And so when we think of serving, I understand we think of cleaning the toilets, making food, taking food over to people's houses, going to help people move, going to help people. And that's all serving. Believe me, that's all serving. That's all necessary. But serving starts at a much deeper level in your brain than just doing tasks. Jesus understood it when he was 12 years old, so I think you can understand it at 30 plus. when he was 12 years old. Remember when he got lost, or his parents couldn't find him for 3 days in Jerusalem during the Feast of the Passover? And they finally find him in the tabernacle, in the temple, and he's asking questions of the high priest there. And his mother is all, like any mother, just out of her mind, worried. What are you doing, son? We have been looking for you for 3 days. And he said, I must be about my father's business. That's a servant. A servant of God is one who feels that God's business is their business. They are in business with God. I said, they are in business with God. That might mean cleaning a toilet. That might mean helping move furniture. It might mean word processing. It might mean administrating and organizing and running things. It can mean a lot of things. It doesn't matter what it means, just as long as it's the Father's business. That's what this is all about. We're running the Father's business. Let me give you this. I saw this little anecdote from a guy named Wanamaker. Mr. Wanamaker was the Postmaster General of the United States at one time. And he was asked, his name was John Wanamaker, and he was asked, how do you run a Sunday school for 4,000 scholars in addition to the business of your stores? Your work as Postmaster General and other obligations. Instantly, he said, why, the Sunday school is my business. All other things are just things. 45 years ago, I decided that God's promise was sure. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's the Postmaster General of the United States, also with another business, who figured the most important thing in his life was running a Sunday school, because that was his real business in life. And that's the exciting morphe, transformation, not schema. You're not just going to go around acting like a Christian once in a while. You're going to feel like a Christian. You're going to feel like Jesus. Down to your little pinky, down to your little toe, you're going to feel like Jesus. You're not going to be, time to make the donuts. No, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be, I can't wait to get to Alpha and serve and put out the foods Wednesday night. I can't wait, because this is the Father's business. I'm running the Father's business. I'm really important. You're pretty important if you're running God's business. And that is really something, huh? Let me give you the final. Why we miss Jesus as a mindset. We miss it because we do not believe we have the power to change our minds. But when the Bible says something as straightforward as have the mind of Christ, the Lord wouldn't say that to you if he thought you didn't have the power to have a certain mindset. But the Lord knows that you have the power to change your mind. You do it all the time. You have the power to change your attitude. That's not a supernatural operation. That's something you can do right now in a few seconds. You can change your attitude. Do not be conformed any longer to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Viktor Frankl said this from a Nazi concentration camp. And if he could say this from a Nazi concentration camp, I can take one look out here. Some of you, I can't see you because the lights are in my eyes, but those of you I can see, you're in a lot better shape than that. He said, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given circumstances. Now, there's a whole body of truth there, and I wish I had 10 minutes to preach about changing our minds, because I know I have skeptics in the house who do not believe you can change your own mind. But, let me just cut to the chase. You're wrong. You can change your mind. You can change your attitude. And if we started telling stories, I'll bet everybody could tell me a story of a day in your life you were faced with something. You were faced with an illness. You were faced with a problem. You were faced with a financial setback. I give me 1 minute. I'll tell you one quick story. My brother and I riding along. I had made some dumb decisions with money. I'd blown about $20,000, probably. It's a long story about how it happened, but I made some bad decisions. My brother and I were riding down the highway, and I was just feeling sorry for myself and feeling angry at myself more than sorry, being mad at myself and embarrassed, and I was telling my brother how bad I felt. And he said, Phil, think of it this way. Think of it this way. People go to college, and they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to get an education. Why don't you just consider that $20,000 the cost of your education? My attitude changed like that. In a split second, he said those words. My attitude totally got fixed. That's how easy it is to change your attitude. I want you to meet some BCCers right now who've chosen the mind of Christ for their own. Bethany Community Church is an awesome place. We have dynamic kids ministry, awesome worship, an incredible youth ministry, and great opportunities for people to plug in and serve. The Bible says that we are letters written for all the world to read. And we're a letter when we all put our stories together. We're a beautiful letter of who Christ is.
Hi, my name is Megan Petty, and I'm the director of The Happy Place with Compassion New England and Bethany Community Church. The Happy Place is a support program for individuals with special needs and their families. We currently offer volunteer opportunities for teens and adults with special needs, as well as short-term respite for kids and adults with special needs. The Happy Place serves people and it meets needs, and we're really the Christ in the community and loving people and serving people. And that's what Bethany is all about, serving and growing and loving people. So it's an opportunity for our church to love and support and help people with special needs grow. Our buddies are volunteers, and so I've just been learning about being able to provide people the opportunity to volunteer with people with special needs, even if they haven't in the past. It's been really great seeing people come in who are new working with people with special needs and seeing them flourish and really just loving on the kids and doing a great job.
Hi, my name is Jerry Colbreth. The food bank is one of my favorite things to do. No one leaves there without a God bless and a hug if they'd like it. The people that I serve, I love. I think Jesus put me on this earth to do what I'm doing. I love serving people. I love it. That's how it makes me feel.
My name is Tina, and I'm the Children's Ministries Director at Bethany Community Church. Well, I have the best job ever. I get to work with kids. I get paid to work with kids. My job consists of working with the children from birth up through fifth grade. People think children are the church of tomorrow. Children are the church of today, and a strong church has a strong children's ministry. I really think that a lot of people come through our church based on children's ministry.
Well, we believe that together we're the body of Christ. None of us individually have all of God's gifts and all of God's abilities and all of who Christ is. So to fully represent Christ, we have to do that as a community. We have to do that together.
Hi, my name is Carl Hellstrom. I run sound at Bethany Community Church. What my objective is when I'm mixing sound during worship is to give everyone at the church the best worship experience that I could deliver. The way that God's ministered to me through my involvement in running sound is mostly with the people I get to spend time with when I'm doing this role. I get to spend time with a lot of strong Christians, and just the conversations we have, it's just really given me opportunities to really grow and what I feel God has gifted me with.
Hi, my name is Matt Hersey, and I serve on the worship team. I've always loved playing music, so to be able to use something that was so integral in my life as an act of service to God is just, it's awesome. I think that worship is one of the key signs of a healthy church. It's an outward sign of an inward feeling. And it's so important for a congregation to come together and be able to worship and experience that together. Being able to see people led into worship and being a part of that is probably the most amazing thing I get to experience on a weekly basis, because you get to see transformational power of Christ on these people week after week after week, and it's so inspiring and it's breathtaking and it's something that I don't take for granted.
I would really encourage people to talk to anyone here that you see serving and find out what your interests are. It doesn't matter how young you are, how much skill you have or don't have. I remember the first time I sat behind a soundboard, I was about 12 or 13 years old. I didn't know a thing. I just had an interest.
The number one reason to get involved at BCC is there's just so many amazing things going on, and you can get plugged in and get closer to God, have a relationship with God, but have a relationship with people and a relationship with a hurting world. That's what we're called to do, is to make a difference in our world. And that happens inside these walls and outside of the walls of Bethany.
I am BCC.
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 At BCC, we have decided that our identity will be captured in three words: love, grow, serve. Love, of course, is receiving and giving God's unconditional love. Love is being cared for, being appreciated just the way you are without any changes whatsoever. Grow is that giving into that yearning we all have, even though we want to be loved as we are, but to be more than we are. So we want to help you be more than you are. We want to be more than you are. However, there's a tendency when churches grow into maturity, there's a tendency to take a hard right turn and become condemning, critical. That's why we have the next word. We want to go from maturity, not from maturity to superiority, but from maturity to humility. That's why serving is so important, because we must go from maturity to humility, because if we go from maturity to superiority, we've lost it. Our calling and our identity is not to look down on people to save them, but to look up to people to serve them. This week, it will begin, as I said last week, life groups this afternoon, the Alpha program. If you come to Alpha, and I hope you do, there will be a team of people already ready for you. They will have the meal prepared for you. They will have you sit down, and they will be there to serve you. So it's, according to God's plan, the most mature serve. That's God's plan. Now, it's not like these three words operate independently. It's not, okay, I used to love, and then I got mature, and now I serve. I don't do love and maturity anymore. No, they all three work all the time, cutting deeper grooves into your life. No matter where you are, maybe you're not really mature, serving will help you get more mature. Serving will help you learn how to love. You can jump in on any of the three words and get to the next one. That's what we want to do. I'm asking you today, you know, this morning, we're going to have something called a ministry mall. Out in the gym, there's tables set up, all kinds of serving opportunities. We want you to go out there and we want you to sign up for something. Now, you may not see the thing that you ultimately want to do. Jump in somewhere and God will see that someday you get to do the thing that you're just really called to do. The Bible said a man's gift makes room for him. Go see what's available. Go see where the needs are at the present time. Because that's what love is. Love is meeting needs. I want you to go there, and I want you to talk to us. You may say, well, you know, I filled the connection card out three times, and nobody got back to me. You know, I'm really sorry about that. Will you give us another chance? One thing that will get you points here is being real. So if you just want to come out there and complain, we'll listen to you. We just don't like it when you don't talk to us at all. Just come talk to us. So, you know, come and see us. We're all set up. A bunch of us are going to be out there ready to sign you up or ready to give you more information so you can go pray about it. Where you want to plug in, there's five or six, I can't remember exactly, different categories. I'm going to be at the pastoral care table because there's a whole bunch of pastoral care and discipleship things that we want you to get involved in. There's a hospitality table. I believe Paradigm, I can't remember all of them right now, but there's a bunch of them out there. So go out there. And the Bible teaches, now you may say, well, I just want to be a Christian. Well, but the Bible says God puts the lonely in families. The Bible teaches us that we're to join a specific group. God wrote seven letters to seven churches. So if you don't join a church, you won't get some of your mail. Today, we want to do this thing called the Ministry Mall. We want you to go out there and talk to us. Don't worry about finding the perfect thing, but find where you feel you ought to be at the moment. Thank you so much for hearing the sermon series. Thank you for being a part of it. You are an awesome congregation, and so many of you already serve. And thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you. We appreciate it. We're going to have a word of prayer right now. And I want to ask you, maybe there's somebody here who needs, you've received Christ as your Savior, but you haven't received Him as your heart and your way of thinking. And you just need to make that mental shift that Christ won't just be the one who saves me from hell, but He will be the one who actually lives through me in my daily actions. I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every one of us who needs to make that mental shift from being a saved person to being a serving person. From being a redeemed person to being one who distributes redemption to others. God, I pray for our time together around the Ministry Mall and Aunt Sandy's. We'll make it a great time of joy and fellowship and amazing things that you're going to do for us in our church. Thank you. Thank you for BCC. Thank you, Lord, for all the BCCers who are out there today. Bless them and fill them with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you out in the gym.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.